Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two. Here on 94 WIP. Howard Eskin here at sitting here overlooking the ballpark. Nice day. They're getting the field ready for an exhibition game. All right, so before I go back to the phones, here's the lineup. It's nothing like it will be to start the season. Marsh is leading off, playing center field. Boehm, obviously playing third base. He's hitting second. Hall will play first base, hitting third. Sosa will play shortstop, hitting cleanup. There's no such thing as cleanup anymore. That's the baseball doesn't even use that term anymore. Stubbs will catch, hit fifth. Harrison second base, sixth. Cave, I guess I got to get to know who Cave is, playing left field. Wilson in right field. Marshawn, the DH, and Nelson starting pitcher. That lineup never will be used during the regular season. So, but that's what spring training is. All right, and I spoke with Trey Turner yesterday, and he should lead off. And I think Rob Thompson pretty much said it, even when Harper comes back, he should lead off. And I think he's resided to that fact now and understands how dynamic the guy could be. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. How are you?
Never had a bad day in my life, Scott. Another day in paradise.
So I got to say, super jealous of you right now, being in Florida, certainly somewhere I'd like to be. I'm glad that we're finally starting to pivot from the Eagles to the Phillies, giving them a little bit more time.
Wait till some of the free agents leave. The people are going to pivot right back.
At least the Phillies are in the conversation now. For me, it helps me to kind of put the Super Bowl away for a little while and just kind of, move on to baseball. I thought it was interesting listening to you interview Thompson. When you mentioned that you would like to see Hoskins in the three hole, I got the sense from him that he might like JT in that spot.
I think Hoskins will have a better on base percentage than JT. I don't like JT hitting three. Hoskins has more power. You want power somewhere else in your lineup, and that would be the only reason that you would flip Hoskins to five and JT at three. But get off to a good start. And if Castellanos, if he does what they say they think he's going to do this year, he'll add power down in the lineup. That would be the only thing, is to move power down there. But I like Hoskins at three. I love to stack that lineup with good hitters at the top of the lineup. But, yeah, he didn't seem like he was locked into Hoskins at three. I like Hoskins as a hitter.
Based upon what Castellanos has done in the past, I do expect him to rebound with a better offensive season. I'm still very concerned, though, with the Phillies' defense overall. I mean, we still have four spots that, are below average fielding-wise.
The spots would be left field, right field, would be third base and first base.
That is correct. I'm with you 100% on that. Now, for me personally, I would have liked to ask Thompson, you know, do you plan on shifting Bohm over to first at all? Maybe Sosa at third. As you're preparing for Hoskins' departure, I would like to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, but I don't know that they're preparing for Hoskins' departure. I think they would miss those home runs in the lineup. I mean, the game is based so much on power. I think you'd miss that in the lineup.
Yeah. Power, you know what I miss? I miss seeing quality defense. I think over the course of 162 games, you need to stress defense a little bit more than the Phillies are doing. Personally, I think good defense leads to good offense. I also think that your top guys produce more when you're getting defense. What the people don't understand is when you look at like left field and right field right now, they see the certain plays being made, but what they don't understand is that those guys can't get to everyday plays that are being made regularly. And That really wears down on a pitcher over the course of a long season.
Let's put it this way: they're better defensively because they're better at short and second. So
agreed.
So they're better defensively.
I made the point earlier on a different program. Up the middle, I mean, with Turner and Stott and Marsh in center and JT behind the plate, that's the strongest inner diamond that you've had in years, and that's impressive.
Sure. For sure.
Now
okay,
they could just yep.
Go ahead. I was going to say, who's your player, the best player to never win a championship?
Well, I'm going to stay away from steroids, and I'm going to go with the kid, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, he never won a championship. You're right.
Nope.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one, Scott. Hey, thanks for the call. Before we get to John, I want to play Trey Turner. I spoke to him yesterday. He doesn't quite come out and say it, but he says it. He wants to lead off. He hasn't led off for a while, but let's hear from Trey Turner. Well, I do know. He's got to lead off. I think Rob Thompson, when I had him on a little while ago, and if you didn't hear it, I'm going to podcast the whole show after we're done. And I think he kind of agreed. Even when Harper comes back, Trey Turner has really got to be the leadoff hitter. I mean, he really should be the leadoff hitter. All right, let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Howard, I just want to pivot a little bit, and I want to talk about the Eagles defensive coordinator and where you think that they're going to go. Are they going to stay in-house? Are they going to continue to look outside?
Well, they're going to continue to look outside, but I don't know that they're going to take somebody from outside. They've interviewed a lot of people. I don't know that Vance Joseph was going to be somebody that they hired. Maybe that's why he took the job in Denver. I'm not sure. I'm not worried about the defensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is going to be Brian Johnson. So and that's fine because Hurts is very comfortable with him. He knows him. He's worked with him for a long time. He's known him for a long time, and that's fine. Defensive coordinator, it comes down to players. It comes down to players. So I'm not worried about that. You got to see what happens. And there's obviously a lot of options. A lot of coaches are moving around. And I never understood, well, if you're good enough, why does a team let you go if you're good enough? Why didn't that team promote you? Why didn't that team keep you? So I always wonder when you're kind of looking, when you're looking for somebody outside, why he didn't get a job with the team that he was with if he's good enough to get a job with you.
No, and I understand exactly what you're saying there. And obviously we all believe it's going to be Brian Johnson, so that's going to be locked in, which I think is
good.
Yeah,
it's going to be Brian Johnson. There's not a question. Not a question.
No. Real quick on the Sixers, Howard. With the way they're playing, are we falling into a trap? Because, you listen to the radio this week and everybody's excited and everybody's, they're playing well. But, this next stretch is really going to determine how good they really are. And I just got the feeling it's going to be the same old situation with the Sixers.
Yeah, the next stretch is important, but it's the playoffs. The playoffs defense just changes. They don't just give you baskets as much as they do during the regular season. You would think tonight should be a good game, but it's not the end of the world for Boston. It's more important for the Sixers to win this game tonight than it is for the Celtics to win this game tonight. But is it a trap? I don't know if it's a trap, but I think you've got to kind of relax and understand who this team is, and are they a championship team? And I don't think they have a leader, and I don't think they're a championship team, and I don't think they're better than Boston or Milwaukee. And, you know, I kind of, and there's somebody else that's going to jump in there and going to say, you know, you always think that Miami, when the playoffs come, are going to be pretty good. So, yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think you've got to kind of temper it, obviously, just a little bit. Because I just don't think they're a championship team. All right, who's your player that the best player that's never won a championship?
And I'm going to say this guy played for a couple of good teams, and you would have thought he would, and one, and maybe he was said, but Randy Moss.
Randy Moss is not bad, not bad. Okay, hey, thanks, John. All right, let's go to Sam? Sam, yep. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How you doing?
I'm just great, Sam.
Hey, listen, I really enjoyed your conversation with Thompson. And I'm glad to hear that he seems to be leaning towards, you know, Turner 1, Schwarber 2, like your lineup is. So before
he actually really did take the lineup with him. I wrote it on a piece of paper. He actually took it with him. You know, maybe he'll show it to me when the season opens and see how close I was to what he has. Now, we're assuming that Hall is in the lineup if there's a right-handed pitcher. So assuming there's a right-handed pitcher to open the season, then Hall, if there's not a right-handed pitcher, then Hall wouldn't be there. Again, then the lineup would move around a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, and I like the way you said my conversation. I never look at somebody that I talk to as an interview. It's a conversation, and it's relaxed. It's just two guys talking to one another, or two people, whether, you know, it could be a woman, it could be – it's two people talking to one another, and that's the way I usually try to treat it, and just having fun talking to each other. And that's kind of, and I've got to know Thompson fairly well, and it's just by knowing him that helps, and he was comfortable in the situation, and it wasn't, I don't think it was an interview to him either. So it's all good.
Let me get to my Eagles point. I just wanted to get your thoughts about who do you think they're going to prioritize, the Eagles, on their free agents? Because I seem to think that T.J. Gardner-Johnson, because they gave up a draft choice for him and he's 25, I see him as a top priority. But I just want to get your thoughts.
I think they like to keep him, but it comes down to the money. And you know, I don't know if they're going to they'll franchise him, and then they could lift the tag because it's going to annoy him if you didn't work out a contract and you're franchising. But I think you really got to keep him and just hope he plays for a contract again. Here's what, and I've said this on the air. If I had my choice between, you can't keep both corners, Bradbury and Slay. Slay's under contract, but I guess there's always ways to get out of things. I'd rather have Bradbury than Slay. Slay just didn't make any plays the second half of the season. You know, I don't know the reason for that, but Slay has been a good player, but not the second half of the season. He was just okay. So I don't know what they're going to do there, but they can't keep both of them.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because I think they ought to keep Bradbury. He's a little younger. He's a little rangier, you know, longer. So I would agree with you there.
All right, who's your best player to never have won a championship?
All right, I'm going to stick with baseball since it's baseball season. And I'm going to go with, there's a couple controversial guys that I could pick, but I'm not going to. One's a steroid guy, and one's a real older guy that nobody likes now. But I'm going to go with arguably the best hitter ever in baseball outside of Ruth, and that would be Ted Williams. Only played in one World Series and lost.
Yeah, that goes way back. Yeah, he never won a championship. He's the best left-handed hitter that's ever played the game.
Yeah, so I'll put it with Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, I never saw Ted Williams play. I saw highlights, but I never saw him play. I've had Ted Williams on the show in person at a remote, which was really a lot of fun. And I mean, it's Ted Williams coming to a remote of mine. And it was great. And he was just so nice and so conversational. But as a hitter, he was absolutely sensational. That's not a bad one, Sam. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem, Jim.
How long champagne lasts? Let me see. I've had it for baseball, football now. You think I'm popping that champagne in basketball?
No. It's a simple word. No.
Yeah. Well, then I
although we should prepare for the parade, because everybody's got the Sixers like penciled in with a terrific chance to win a championship after they beat up on teams that some of them don't show up. Some of them don't show up in the fourth quarter. It's just regular. See, the problem is it's so hard to take something from the regular season, because who shows up in the regular season? Who shows mm-hmm. up? It's crazy. It really is crazy.
Yeah. Can I give you my pick?
Sure.
I'm going to go to guy 0-for-4. Loved him. Buffalo Bill, Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly is a good one. Yeah, he got the four Super Bowls, four straight Super Bowls, and never won. And he was he really was a hell of a quarterback. That's a good one, Jim. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck, you got your computer out for me,
nice
Chuck?
Weather.
You got
the weather's beautiful. Can't you give the Sixers a little more love? Can't you really? Come on, man.
Well, that was a great
win.
Okay. No, it wasn't a great win. It was a good win. And here's the difference. John Morant doesn't show up. I love these guys.
What do you mean by doesn't show up? What does that mean? Define that.
Three for 16 or 3 for 15.
So you don't credit the defense here?
Not for the first three quarters. Wait a minute. What? Didn't Memphis have a 17-point lead in that game?
It happens in the NBA. Lead swings happen.
Okay, I get it. But the Sixers seem to have to come back a lot of times in
the
fourth quarter.
It's a different subject. Okay, but they both teams play
hard. It's the same subject. It's the same subject. You can't wait till the fourth quarter. You got to play a solid game throughout.
Morant was hustling the whole game. He's 3-for-16 because of their defense. He likes to go to the rim.
Yeah, the defense is great.
By the way, give Embiid props on a clean block. That was a fantastic block.
Well, okay. 5 years ago, that would have been a foul.
But it's not a foul anymore.
It's not a foul.
But Morant's driving into him. His momentum.
Yeah, but the defensive player can't. If he's driving into him, the defensive player can't move. The way the rule
basically works,
a defensive player can't have contact because he's moving.
Well, that's creative narrative by Howard, but it doesn't have anything to do with the fact. The defensive player has to go straight up and that's exactly what.
Okay, no, he didn't. Hey, Chuck, Chuck, I'm going to ask you to watch that replay after he blocked the ball. You know what? You can send me it 100 times. When he went up, Chuck, he blocked the ball, and then he fell into him. All right, then he fell into
it.
But that's not a foul anymore. It's not a foul anymore. But you know what? In the end, it's a block. So I'm not going to say it was a bad call. In the end, so he makes a good defensive play by the block. John Morant should have never gone in on him. I mean, he's going to go in against a 7-footer and just going to dunk the ball.
I know you're going to hang up on me. So let me get one question before
you
hang up.
Yeah, I will hang up on you at some point.
I know it's coming. Okay. do you really believe, in your heart of hearts, now, give this 3 seconds of serious consideration.
Okay.
Do you really believe, no radio stuff, this is true, Sarah, do you honestly believe as a professional sports player, the MVP a world champ? You don't seriously
believe that. Hold it, Chuck. That's a bad question. And here's why I'll tell you it's a bad question.
Well, it's got merit.
Do what? No, it's got no merit because the All-Star game is a joke. The All-Star game is a joke. Chuck, let's face facts.
Would you say Chuck?
Chuck, listen to me for a second. Listen, okay. Listen to me. Can you listen for a second? The All-Star game, we all agree, was a complete farce and a complete joke. And to be the MVP in the All-Star game, by the way, it was more than 48 minutes. When you add up all the minutes, because they play to a certain number, Jason Tatum's 55 are meaningless. Now, I love him as a player, meaningless as far as 55 points.
Okay, so the question
should be, Chuck, would Joel Embiid rather win an MVP award, not the All-Star game, an MVP award or a championship?
Now, he's going to
say, and I think he'd have to think about it. I think
just like
the owner, if the owner had a chance to make $5 million more or make $5 million less and win a championship, what would he rather do? I think he'd rather win make $5 million more.
What is it primarily that bothers you about Embiid?
He's about himself. First of all, let's start out with this. He's a very, 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 very talented player.
Hey,
Chuck, I can't even speak when you're speaking. I can't even speak. All right.
Okay.
He's a terrific player, but I think he's selfish. The All-Star game showed that. I think he's about himself, and he's not a leader. Is he talented? There's no question how talented he is. There's no question. But he's about himself, and they don't have a leader, Chuck. And he's got to be the leader. He can't talk a good, I was sick all day, and here he comes to save the day. Oh, woe is me, and then he comes out. You know, it's too much of a drama queen. So I don't think, just go out there and play. I don't want to hear about anything else. I just go out there and play.
Could you imagine playing at the intensity level of an NBA game where both teams play hard? Both teams played hard on defense, which is my gripe about the NBA is they take minutes off, as you know. Both teams played hard throughout. Now, he had the flu. That was documented. That was talked about.
Wait.
Could you imagine playing an NBA
game? How do you know he had the flu, Chuck?
I trust what I read. I trust
okay,
what I read.
It's nonsense. If he had the flu, you don't want to have him around to infect other people. Chuck, well, I got to go. Chuck, I'm going to grade this call, Chuck, and you got a D-, okay? 215-592-9494. D-. Chuck, I was generous with that grade on your call. Trust me. You are so out of line. You're out of order. WIP Sports Time 924. WIP, Howard Uskin here on a wonderful Saturday morning, I think. Yeah, it is wonderful. You know, how can you complain? All right, let's go to, is Barry up first? Is that who's up first? Barry, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my phone call. I do appreciate it.
No problem, Barry. No problem.
Okay. Assuming that the 76ers, and I agree with you, don't really go anywhere in the playoff, perhaps not getting out of the second round, I know in the past you've considered the fact that they could possibly consider a trade for Joel Embiid. Well, having said that, who do you think would be an adequate trade partner for the 76ers in order for them to improve their team?
Well, I don't even know, because you don't know what teams are willing to give up. You got to get, depending on what, if it's in the off season, you got to get a player and draft picks. And you probably get some people to be able to give you draft picks. So,
well, how would that work out with regard to the salary situation? You know, you have to be within 10%.
You have to be within 10% if you're over the cap.
I see.
Yeah, so you have to take a player back, you know, and you could maybe trade him to a team that has room under the cap. I don't think it has to be 10% if you're under the cap.
Okay.
You can't even think about that. You don't even know what teams have interest. But the Sixers, if you're not going to win a championship this year with Embiid, and his years of productive playing obviously are going to go down. Because the older he gets, physically, he's just not going to be able to deal with it as much, physically. So I don't know what, I mean, I can't even think about that. I mean, I'm not even worried about that right now. Okay. You know, and what teams.
I thought perhaps you had somebody specific in mind.
No, because you don't know. But the Sixers, what I have in mind is the Sixers have to make a decision that they are going to move forward and reconstruct this team and try to be competitive. That's their fear is, and this is their fear, that they won't be able to reconstruct the team and have people think that they're as competitive. It's all about what the public thinks.
Yeah, perception.
Yeah, perception. That is correct.
Okey-doke.
All right. Who is the player, the best player that never won a championship?
Oh, well, since somebody already mentioned Ted Williams, I would think that the person that I would consider, since he had so much enthusiasm for the game, would be Ernie Banks.
That's right. Boy, now we're really going back in the time vault. Ernie Banks is not a bad one. But I don't know. Ernie Banks was a great player. Well, you could probably go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball probably has so many players that were really great players that never won a championship. That's interesting. But I'll put you in the mix. All right, you're in the mix. All right, let's go to... who was that? Fred? Fred, you're on WIP.
Howard, can you hear me?
Fred, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Howard. I'm in
okay,
my
then
truck.
We can hear each other. How about that? Boy, the technology that we have here at WIP is absolutely mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
Howard, I'm not used to this thinking with my cell phone. The one I wanted to call about the Eagles first.
Okay.
Just everybody, we know Gannon had his flaws and everything, but why did Sirianni stand there on the sidelines in the second half and not do a damn thing, like go over to John and say, hey, what is going on?
Wait a minute. Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you a question before I answer your question. All right. Do you see those guys wearing headphones?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that there is a mute button between the two on the headphones?
Probably.
No, come on. They're talking. They talk to each other. They communicate on the headphones. All right. They communicate and that they could go over and talk to him. But, you know, Nick Sirianni's doing a bunch of things. He doesn't have to stand in front of him. And he could see players aren't making plays. And that's what it comes down to a lot of times. And you're playing against the best quarterback in football. That's another problem. You know, when are players responsible? When are players responsible for a play not happening? And why is it, do people always go after the coach? Why is that the case?
I'm not saying I'm going after him. I'm just saying, though,
Well,
you know, I used to work in the industry, and I was a foreman. And when something happens, basically it comes to you, unfortunately, because you're the one in charge. And, you know, I just look at that was a little bit of, my goodness, that second half really stung. You know, they did. They played a damn good team, that's for sure. Andy took them to school.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. The fans, obviously, it wasn't pleasing. It wasn't pleasing to the fans. Yeah, there's no question. It wasn't pleasing to the fans. But players sometimes have to, not sometimes, players need to make plays, don't they? Don't players need to make plays?
Yeah, when they pick that paycheck up, it's certainly not less.
Yeah, they need to make plays. So, you know, so that's a big part of it. You need to make plays. And if players don't make plays, it's not always the coach's fault. Not always the coach's fault. For instance, all right, the first touchdown where the receiver wasn't covered. He went in motion. What was Darius Slay's pointing to somebody? And then he doesn't want, once the player stops going in motion and comes back, Slay doesn't come back with him. So whose fault is that? Is that the coach's fault? Or is that Darius Slay's fault?
I agree with you when you said you'd keep Bradbury over Slay. So no problem there.
Yep. Yeah. Well, wouldn't you? So I would. I think Bradbury, first, he's younger, and that's an advantage for Bradbury. But, yeah, I mean, it's just I would keep Bradbury over Slay. But I don't know that that's what they're going to do, but I would keep Bradbury over Slay. Yes.
Good point. You made a good point with that. And, you know, hey, I'm not going to tie up the airways much longer with you. It's good conversing with you this morning.
I know it's your pleasure. But here, I'm going to give you a chance to win that $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Best player to have never won a championship.
Well, I got it. My one taken with Jim Kelly. But I'm going to say Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton was a really good player. He wasn't at the level of the other players, but it is a good. It is a name from the past. There are some other players out there. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of players. But yes, there's probably players in basketball that we haven't hit on either. I'm trying to think. Is anybody named Charles Barkley? Is the only basketball player that somebody named, and he is one of the 50 greatest players. But there's other players in that. I'll give people a little hint. I haven't thought of anybody. There's probably players in those first 50 greatest players that didn't win a championship. Just giving people a little bit of a, you know, hint. There's got to be somebody there. 215, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. Spring training, baseball this afternoon here, and it will be broadcast here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The lineup is not exciting, but it is baseball, and it gives people a chance for, and we'll see how long the game takes. I don't think they're going to go that long now. The pitch clock is moving things along, but, you know, with the players that are there, I don't think you're going to see a ton of hits. When they change pitchers, it's probably not going to be during the inning. It's going to be after the inning, so you don't take the extra time. So that in that regard, in spring training, I think you're going to get a little bit of a misread on how – and I like – the only rule that I like was the pitch clock. That's the only rule that I like. And it's going to affect – and if you heard Rob Thompson, if you didn't, we'll have the I'll put up the podcast and Rob Thompson will be on that. I think the hitters are going to be more affected than the pitchers because they have their routines. Bryce Harper's one of them. Manny Machado he had a strike called on him because he wasn't ready for the pitch in the proper amount of time. They're going to call it in spring training. We'll see how tough they are during the regular season, but you got to call it. If it's there, you got to call it. I'm Howard Eskin here at what the heck is this park called? Bay Care Ballpark. It's been since I've been coming to this ballpark. It's probably had 8 to 10 names or the ballparks that the Phillies have played in. But right now it's Bay Care Ballpark. And that's where the Phillies play their home games. And they're playing the Yankees today. I don't even know what the Yankees – I don't have any idea what the Yankees who the Yankees are bringing. By the way, I had an interesting dinner last night, and I will mention that when I come back. 94. WIP, the time is 9:39. 94, WIP. All right, before we get back to the phones, interesting dinner last night, and I've met the fine, fine gentleman before. Gentlemen in the real world, not in his professional world. Hulk Hogan. Now, if people follow me on Twitter, maybe I should probably put it up on Facebook too or Instagram or whatever, but which I will do maybe today. I had dinner with Hulk Hogan, and over 30 years ago, I brought one of my kids who now works for Disney in California, in Burbank, to a wrestling event at the Spectrum. And Hulk Hogan held him. He couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old. And held him, and I had the picture, and I showed that to Hulk, and he kind of laughed. So I took a picture with Hulk with the picture on my phone, and I told him the time that I was a ring announcer. And I didn't know that the match wasn't over in the world of wrestling. So I was the celebrity ring announcer, got in the ring, announced it. It's over. I'm saying, now what do I do? So I went back in the ring, and he yells at me, "Brother, you better get the out of here." And he used the F-bomb. And then as soon as I was walking out of the ring, they started slamming chairs over each other. So, but it was a very nice guy. Hung out with him a little. He's got a club down here on Clearwater Beach. Went over to the club for a little while. So, just hanging out with the Hulkster. I tweeted the picture. But I was just hanging out with the Hulkster. I mean, it's not a bad night. And the dinner was excellent, too. Seth, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. What's going on today, man? How you doing?
Another day in paradise.
That's it, man. I'm looking forward to baseball for sure. I just wanted to I've been calling in since the game, since the Super Bowl, and I just wanted to had something to say. I think I agree with you and Elliot and a few other people on the station, and very few callers that have called in have shared this sentiment that, you know, I really don't – I understand Gannon shoulders a portion of the blame and definitely a large portion of it, but I certainly
don't know about a large portion. I mean, everybody shares in the blame, but not a large portion.
For me, you know what it is with the people are like, oh, you know, they got scored on those two plays. He did blitz on those plays, but the issue I found was that the blitzes weren't disguised. Patrick Mahomes picked them up. Players missed assignments. But when you go down the list of the stats of the Super Bowl, and I did this, and it kind of settled it for me, was there were two glaring things that the Eagles came up short in. Only two. They won every other category except for turnovers and penalties. They had 8. Kansas City had 3. And we had the 1 big turnover. And I think the turnover cost them more than anything. And then also,
Sirianni's decision to not go for it.
It's the point.
On that fourth and three, you got to be aggressive in the Super Bowl, especially when you're playing
Andy Reid. Not on your own 32. No, not on your own. And I think it was a little over three. So not on your own 32. I mean, it's easy to say now.
Yeah, it's
easy to say. But the reality is they needed to score a touchdown rather than kick a field goal on their last score. Because then it puts them up by more than seven. And that's where what you needed. And A.J. Brown said it. And I looked at that scoreboard and I'm saying, they're only up six. And I kind of felt the same thing. And the timeout early in the third quarter was a mistake. The turnover led to 7 points. It's a 17-point game at halftime rather than a 10-point game. And the penalty before the turnover was a mistake.
That whole set of downs was just – that was a catastrophic three downs.
Okay,
set.
So you know, you can't just say Jonathan Gannon shares most of the blame. Okay.
No, you're right. I would agree with that for sure. But, I mean, you know, I understand what people are saying with him. But my hang-up with it is all year long, I just feel like with the Super Bowl, people are just using that situation to fit the rhetoric that they've been saying all year where this guy needs to get out of here. You know, we got to get rid of him. However, you want to put the blame on him by saying that he put the players in a bad position and didn't draw up the right plays. Well, then you also have to give him credit for the rest of the year by putting these players in the right position where they dominated and absolutely torched the NFC. You know, they owned every team that they played.
Well,
I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, you do, because they gave up less than 20 points a game. And people say, well, Dallas scored 40. Do you remember how many turnovers they had in that game? And it was Minshew who was the quarterback.
Yeah, that's four turnovers. A big one. Yeah,
I think Dallas scored 20 points off of turnovers. So you can't – so you say, oh, Jonathan, they gave up 40 points against them. No, the defense didn't give up 40. So, you know, you gotta weigh the whole thing. All right. Let's who's your best player to win?
I don't know if anybody said it yet or not. It was a little bit late getting on the show. But, you know, with baseball looming now, Doc Holliday.
I wouldn't put him in that. He was a great player, but not some of the others that we have here. But that's a good guess, Seth. All right, let me go to Joey. Joey, just give me your guy. Give me your guy who was the best player to have never won a championship.
Well?
Yeah, Joey. Are you there, big guy?
Yeah.
I'll say hello one more time. Can you give me your guy who is the best player to never win a championship?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you there? All right. Let's move on to Gary. I don't need all this nonsense. Gary, the best player to never win a championship.
Oh, Barkley.
Barkley was already chosen.
Ah, shit. I came on late. That's
okay.
Cool.
All right. Thanks. Let's go to Bill. Bill, the best player to never win a championship.
The mailman, Karl Malone.
That is a good one. I don't know that that's going to win, but. Now we got to make a choice. All right. So here we go. And thanks for your calls. And thanks to Rob Thompson for coming on today. And we'll podcast the show for those people that didn't hear it and didn't hear Rob Thompson. And our D-minus caller, you'll hear him, who is just so out of touch sometimes. But whatever the case may be. All right. We have a new person to help with the selection here, and that's Nick Earnshaw. Nick, I put most of the weight on you, so when people blame somebody for the winner, it doesn't shoulder on my – I don't shoulder the blame.
Yeah, they can blame me.
Yeah,
blame me.
Okay, I've got two people that I've looked at who I think are the best. Who would you choose, and then I'll maybe debate you for 15 seconds.
You know, there were some good ones today. Dan Marino was a good one. That was up there. I know we kind of agreed on that, but I got to go Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, Ken Griffey had a heck of a career. It's baseball season. I think that was probably one of the best ones said today.
You know what? That was the two. I have check marks next to two, and that was one of them.
How about that? On the same page today, Howard. Look at that.
Ken Griffey Jr., because he wasn't a cheater, was a great, great, great ball player. And you don't think about it, but he never won a championship. Marino's a real good one. He went to the Super Bowl his second year in football and never got back. But Ken Griffey Jr., and that was Scott, right?
I think that was Scott. Scott and King of Prussia. So he wins today.
All right. So Nick, first time. We'll do it again next week.
It'll be fun.
Kyle got a promotion, so Kyle abandoned us on Saturday, but that's all right. It's nice having you, Nick. Nick Earnshaw back in the studio at the Tasty Cake Studios here at the ballpark. A fine, fine gentleman. Well, I'll use gentleman for the time being. Fine gentleman who's done these shows with me for years when I've done it at the ballpark, Ed Pandino, who's going to actually be the technical whiz behind the Phillies game today. So Ed's from the Florida area here. So thank to him. And thanks to everybody that was listening today and participated in this fine program. So the winner of the $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers, where you get all DeBruno.com and catering and food and seven locations, and it's all so, so, so good. The best player to never win a championship, we have decided that it was Ken Griffey Jr., and that was Scott, who was the winner of the $100 gift certificate. Thanks. I'll be back again Tuesday. I forget what day it is, but I will leave Florida over the weekend. I've been here for a week. It's been all nice, and I'll post some more things on all the social media to try to keep you people up to speed with everything that's going on. Everybody have a great weekend. Glenn Macnow, Mike Sielski are next. The time now, 9:55.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.